Oh man, yeah, we just took some new promos for the band, and I called my managers beforehand. I was like, "Can I keep the mustache? Is this okay?" And they were like, "Yeah, keep the mustache. That's cool." And I was like, "Okay, keeping the mustache." Yeah, it is indeed management improved.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You are listening to episode 188 of Sapnin Podcast featuring myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards.
And oh, no, I know that.
This podcast, we hear from a band who are learning to survive and truly carrying the weight of hope after planting a metalcore seed since 2005.
This week's guest is Joshua Moore of The Crushing We Came As Romans.
Yes, Josh is not only the founding member, but lyricist, guitarist, and primary songwriter for Michigan metalcore monsters We Came As Romans. Ever since the band invaded that heavy metal scene in the early 2000s, they've been a staple for the post-hardcore world, touring the globe and connecting with audiences all over. This is quite a unique episode because Josh doesn't really do too many in-depth conversations these days like this. He's quite shy at heart, but this shows a quite a unique side to him and the band's story. And we really talk about all the highs and lows it is in that kind of touring life, from pranks and tour bus wars to love for Limp Bizkit and Taking Back Sunday, his own wedding, financial struggles that can happen while being in a band, and we get very emotional talking secrets behind new music and releasing their first new material since the tragic passing of the vocalist Kyle Pavone, what conversations were had about carrying on, especially with Dave, and setting up the Kyle Pavone Foundation, which is a non-profit organization helping anyone with struggles of mental health, addiction, or if you've been affected by any sort of subjects in that world. So it's quite emotional. This conversation is all over the place in that sense, but an important one for us to have. It's super silly, extremely deep, and one we're honored to have been able to have. And I know Romans are a band that you have a lot of respect for, Sean.
Yes, big fan. Big fan of We Came As Romans throughout the ages. It was just fantastic to get to sit down and have a chat with Josh. I didn't really know what to expect, but yeah, we had a great time. He was very open with us. He was very funny. He was very honest. Yeah, he just spoke beautifully about, like you mentioned, mental health and so what. So yeah, thank you again to Joshua for coming on. Thank you very much to We Came As Romans for the music. And yeah, this was really, really, really fun to do.
Yeah, I think as you'll hear in this really chat, we've made a new friend from doing this podcast. So that's always nice when we connect to people like that.
I'd like to think so, yeah. I'd like to think we've made a new friend. I did follow him in Instagram straight after, but he didn't follow me back. So,
aww.
You know, I'm not angry. I'm not disappointed. It's fine. You know, he's busy. I know he's busy growing a management-approved mustache.
Yes, and we'll get into that in just a minute. But before we go into the conversation, Sean, a couple of things I want to bring up. And first...
Oh, go on.
This is a bit of a left-field question for you, but deadly serious now, right?
Yeah.
Are you any good at yoga?
Yes. Why? What are you trying to say? What are you trying to do? What are you trying to get me to do? Go on.
Well, funny enough, at 2000 Trees Festival, next week, we will be doing 3 live podcasts on the Word stage, opening up the festival every morning. But as a special activity before that, they've actually got 2000 Trees Yoga. So we can do that before we go on stage.
Aye. Yeah. Aye. Probably. Aye. Of course he fucking can. Righto. So we're not staying directly at the festival. We're hoteling it in and out, right? So we got to get in before 9 a.m., man. We got to get in before 9 a.m.
Yep.
Do yoga. Mm-hmm. Then do our live podcast at 10 a.m. And then on a Friday, after we finish the podcast, I got to run to the cave stage to go and do my fucking gig. And then maybe there was talks. I have been emailed back and forth with 2000 Trees about me DJing as well late at night. So that's super class. So that I'll be going to bed at like 4 a.m. to wake up at 7 to get to to get to the festival. Hey, if you see me at 2000 Trees and I look dead, leave me be.
But just imagine all the workout, all the steps you're going to get in. It'd be great. But no, this week is the return of 2000 Trees, the festival, Thursday, July 7th to July 9th. We'll be opening up every morning and doing live podcasts on the Word stage. And it's going to be a very fun event. The lineup is incredible, including bands like Jimmy Eat World, Turnstile, Thrice, Yumi at Six, Idols, Young Guns, Laura James, Grace, Fakovi, Anti-Flag, and a whole lot more.
Well, I'd like to add, and recently added, fantastic Cardiff-based band, Holding Absence. Added last minute due to our friends, No Devotion, not able to make it over due to a number of things, apparently. I think it's family illness. Yeah, they've got a complete stuff for their record, which is coming out soon. So, gutted not to be seeing No Devotion. Sending all my love to them and their families. I hope everybody gets better soon. But fucking hell, Holding Absence will be unbelievable there. And I also know Lucas is a big fan of Thrice. So he's going to love being there as well. So yes, I cannot wait. It's going to be a fantastic weekend.
It is. And I've been told on good authority that at the time of recording, they're very close to selling out. There are some tickets still available, but you might want to get on it as soon as possible. This is your last chance to join us at Epcot Farm in Cheltenham this year. And if you want to get 10% off those tickets, head over to 2000treesfestival.co.uk/tickets and use the promo code SAPNIN for 10% off. That's 10% off all your tickets with the promo code SAPNIN. We're going to be there. We're going to be doing live podcasts. We're going to be recording podcasts. Sean's going to be playing. We're going to be having a great time watching some bands. It's literally one of the highlights of every summer. And you should come in the field and join us.
Yes, that's the promo code SAPNIN, SAPPENIN. SAPPENIN. And also, while I'm spelling things out, give us a follow on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at SAPNINPOD. At SAPPENINPOD, at SAPNIPOD, at SAPPENINPOD. Let's get on with this, is it?
Yes, this is the wonderful Joshua Moore of We Came as Romans on episode 188 of SAPNIN Podcast.
Absolutely lovely chap, fantastic band, wicked.
SAPNIN!
A lot can happen in the next 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too.
Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Sapnin!
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 Whee!
I tried.
Yes, this week's guest is We Came As Romans legend Joshua Moore. He is joining us today with his management-approved mustache. How are you, Josh?
I'm doing well, indeed, rocking my management-approved mustache. You know, and even if it was not approved, I think I'd still do it. I think yeah. I'd still have it. Yeah, you know, I'd be like, nah, you guys are wrong. I know I trust you for every other decision, but this one, nah, not that one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you nice. Were mentioning just before we started that, you've recently taken some promo pictures and stuff, and then you had to check if the mustache was good. And it's fucking fantastic.
Yeah, so it's very impressive.
I tell everybody to, after this, if you go find a recent picture of Joshua, go and have a look at it, because that is a fucking mighty... I'm jealous I am, because I'm really old and I can't grow one as thick as that. Look, this is the best I could do.
Well, this is the only thing I can grow. It started as a joke, because when I try to grow a beard, I look like a damn idiot. It's terrible. It's like patchy everywhere. I look like I'm maybe 15, you know, doing my first beard, but instead I'm 32 and it's awful. So, you know, I just went with the stash.
Interesting, because it's the other way around for me. If I do not have a beard, I look very, very strange. So that's why I'm always kind of have a little bit going on at least.
See, I want that problem. Give me that problem. I would like a beard one time in my life. Just once.
You've got to maintain it then, and then it gets too long. It's a whole thing. I know I'm not really speaking to the choir here. You're both looking at me very angry.
We're both furious going, yeah, I fucking love a beard. But my problem is, my beard just grows out of these two little bits just the side of my mustache. So I look like a koi carp or some sort of Japanese wizard or something. It's not a good look. But anyway, let's talk about why we are here, for God's sake.
Beard,
it's only facially, it's the facially special.
No, but Josh, I mean, how are things at the moment? It seems a very busy time in the We Came As Romans camp, but just like, how is things with you day to day? What's going on?
Yeah, so we're actually starting to kind of like ramp back up again. You know, COVID fucking sucked for everyone all the time. Like Dave and I started this band fucking like, I don't know, 17, 18 years ago. And the last like 3 years was the least I've ever toured in my life since I started touring when I was 16. And so that was real weird. And I fucking hated it. That was terrible. And so last fall, we were able to do our rescheduled To Plant a Seed 10-year anniversary tour on the 12th anniversary of To Plant a Seed. Cool. real cool. But we were able to get back out there, and I think we were one of the only tours that had like zero cancellations due to COVID or a band getting COVID or something. We got super lucky, and it was an awesome tour. We were touring with Devil Wears Prada, and they're just legends, fucking legends. So that was great. And then, you know, we haven't done anything for 6 months. We got home from that tour. I got married a week later.
Congratulations.
Came home, had Thanksgiving, you know, had a few weeks at Christmas, into the new year. And now we're like finally starting to ramp back up. We played this weekend at a festival in Florida, got through 5 songs in Sideways Rain before lightning shut down the whole festival.
Was that Rockville?
Yeah, that was Rockville. So that was Rockville day 2, and I'm pretty sure every day at some point got canceled due to lightning. Like it was wild, but I mean, that's kind of just what to expect at this time of the year in Florida. So, but it was awesome to get back on stage after 6 months. We're flying to Texas this weekend, playing a festival called So What. And then in July, we go to Sweden. We play a festival, which is going to be insane. I have not been to Sweden in years, and I love it there. And then after that, we get back to the States. We're headed out on tour with August Burns Red.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. That sounds fucking awesome.
Very busy time. But before we get into things, you mentioned the wedding. I've seen a lot of photos on your social media from it. Obviously, magical day anyway. But I mean, how was it for you? It seems that it was very special with everything.
Yeah, it was awesome. When my wife and I were like planning it, we didn't know what was going to happen. Like, you know, it was in the like middle of COVID. We're like, can we even have a wedding? Like, can we have 20 people? Can we have 50 people? We like, there's all these different rules and stuff going on. And so we were just like, let's just plan it how we'd like to have it and hope we can. And so we did. We ended up having like a bit smaller wedding, which was great because I don't want a big wedding because they're fucking expensive. And I recommend that no one have giant weddings unless you have giant wallets, because holy shit, why is that a thing? Why is it so expensive to get married? This
is crazy, isn't it?
Wild times. But it was awesome. And I loved it. And we actually had our tour photographer and videographer. His name's Paxton, and he's awesome. He's a younger kid, and he's really fun because we just give him shit all the time and like tease him. It's great. Lovingly, you know, tease him. But we had him do a video for the wedding. And that was like one thing that I heard from a lot of people is just like, make sure you get a videographer because you're going to want that later on. And the video that he made was awesome, and I love it, and tried to put it on social media and it got copyright flagged, so no one's ever gonna see it. But I don't care, because I have
what was copyrighted?
The music
in it. So like I think there's like four different like clips of songs in it, and like three of them got flagged, and I was like, cool, that's fine.
Are they your songs? Are they your songs, or are they just
I got married to my own shitty metal board.
I thought wait here now, Josh, you've gone right in. You're exactly the perfect guest for this because you're already giving me shit to parody. My thinking was he edited the video and was like, oh, I know, I'll just chuck snippets of some of We Came As Roman songs over the top, and then maybe it got copyrighted by copyright infringement from the label and stuff. So yeah, I was just wondering if you would have had to have gone back to the label going, is there any chance I could use my own songs for my own wedding video, please?
Because no, that was actually, I had two rules at my wedding. And one is that no one was allowed to request my own band's songs to play because my friends would love to do that to me. And my band has this tradition. So Louis R., the guitar player, and Dave, our vocalist, they're both married. And at both of their weddings, they played break stuff and like moshed and crowd surfed and broke stuff. And so that was my other request, is that we don't do that at my wedding. And so my band did that at my wedding, still made a mosh pit of just me. I just got the shit beat out of me in a suit, and then they like crowd surfed me around, and it was actually hilarious. Like, I have a video of it somewhere. It was really funny, kind of painful, but I was pretty drunk, so you know, it's a wedding. What else do you do at your own wedding besides get drunk and get beat up?
I can just imagine you having the best day, enjoying yourself, sat there, and then just hear and go, oh no.
That is almost exactly what happened. I'm like on the dance floor with my wife, having a great time, drinking, hanging out, and you know, the music dies down, and I hear just the first two notes. And I just audibly said out loud, are you fucking kidding me? And then they all knew what was happening. Like, my band went around and told everyone that they were about to do this. And so, like, everyone just crowded around me. And I'm like, okay, all right, here it goes. You know, okay. What no one tells you is that a wedding isn't really for you. It's a you-themed party that you throw for all your friends.
Yeah.
And yes, so, you know, you got to make sure that they have a good time.
Are you pro Limp Bizkit, or was it just you didn't fancy this at the wedding?
I just didn't want to break any. This is my cat. I didn't want to actually break any stuff at my wedding because that cost me money, and that's what happens when we play Limp Bizkit and my band is drunk, and it's like innate inside of you, especially for my boys when they hear that stuff. But when I was younger, I actually was prohibited from listening to Limp Bizkit. I was not allowed.
Wow.
And so my like first experience is truly listening to Limp Bizkit. I'm way past like the sweet spot when everyone got into it. And I was just like, this is like fine, but I'm like 22 now. So I don't it's not bad. I don't dislike it. But I miss the part where I like made that like emotional connection to it, like that nostalgic feeling. So I unfortunately missed that with a ton of bands that I was not allowed to listen to growing up.
What was prohibiting you from listening? Was it parents?
Yes. And I love my mom. I don't think she's going to listen to this, but there was not. Like I couldn't listen to like Slipknot. Oh. I couldn't listen to Korn, couldn't listen to Limp Bizkit. I had a fucking Our Lady Peace CD when I was in like fourth grade that had a parental advisory sticker on it because it said the fuck word one time in a song I didn't listen to. Little backstory, my parents divorced when I was younger, so every other weekend I'd spend with my dad, and then once a week and stuff, you know, visitation, everything. Parents were great. It was fine. But my dad bought me this CD because he had one and I wanted one to listen to when I was at my mom's house. And I took it home, has a sticker on it. I mean, you know, mom reads the lyrics. It says fuck in one song that I don't even know. I'm listening to like Clumsy and Superman's Dead, and that's it. For anyone that knows Our Lady Peace discography. And she's like, nope, you got to take this back to your dad's and listen to it there. I'm like, I have it at my dad's. I got this to listen to here. So then I just had two copies of Our Lady Peace at my dad's because why not? Wow. That's great.
It's all going on. All going on.
Well, I just realized that if Limp Bizkit playing Break Stuff means We Came as Romans, stop breaking stuff, you're quite lucky. At your wedding, they didn't play Nookie.
Oh, God.
I think my older family members would have perhaps... fainted?
Yes.
Yeah, died. The last thing you want breaking out at a wedding is an orgy, especially to Limp Bizkit as well.
Nan and Papa are going to be like, what the heck is this?
Yeah, you might
what
guess
the heck
weird,
is going on?
Guess some weird
stick
reaction
it up his what?
Them.
Stick it up his what?
What did he do it for? What did my grandma, she still calls me Joshy. I'm almost 33. She still calls me Joshy. And in my head, I just have this image of her coming up saying, Joshy, what does Nookie mean? And I'm like, Nana?
No.
Back to the hotel.
Yeah.
I can't do this.
That's
just
enough.
Keep on rolling. Nana.
Oh, wow. Wow. But speaking of this kind of funny moments as well, you mentioned that tour last year with The Devil Wears Prada. And I wanted to touch on one thing because we've been told quite a few times that We Came as Romans love a little prank every now and again. And a viral video did come of that you stormed the stage playing a song of theirs you really wanted them to play that they weren't. So I just wanted to get the reaction backstage from that. Was that something you planned along? And what other pranks have you pulled over the years that you're quite proud of?
Oh, so we planned that like a day behead. So the tour ended in our hometown in Detroit and we played two sold out shows. So after the first one, we're like, oh God, we should prank Prada tomorrow. The song was called Dogs Can Grow Beards All Over. And it was like our like first like hit that was huge when 16 years ago, I think I was like 17. And that was back when they had just like struck their like Joey Sturgis Rise Records stride, like straight to the top. My band's fucking booking our own tours on MySpace, like for all, you know, intents and purposes, we're like a local band. Like we're all tiny, like, and, you know, there's like us, Icy Stars, Attack Attack. We're all from this, you know, Michigan, Ohio area. And Miss May I was there, our drummer David's old band, Crimson Armada. Like there are a bunch of like tiny this area bands. And we all just fucking loved Prada because they were like the band. They were the band that made it. They, you know, and that was like their big song. And so we'd give them shit all the time because now that we've known them for 15 years, we're like, oh, God, you got to play Dogs and Grow Beards All Over. And, you know, that to them is like us playing To Plant a Seed. I'm like, can I not play this fucking song anymore? I played this song 2000 times. This is not fun. Because I listened to my own song that I wrote that long ago. Like a lot of stuff on To Plant a Seed I wrote when I was like 18. And I'm just like, holy shit, why did I think I was good at this? Like, what compelled me to go on? Because this song is ass. This is what is the structure? What did tempo changes? Wild, just wild stuff. And I think a lot of writers and bands have that where they look back on something. Very rarely are you going to look back on something that you wrote over a decade ago and be like, oh, that's top notch shit. I really went down from here. So of course they didn't want to play it. And so we learned that song the day of, like, separately. Like, I put in AirPods and pulled it up on their Spotify and I was like, I think this is it. I don't fucking know. And we just, we had our sound guy, our front of house, was doing sound for them as well. So we still had our board and everything hooked up. And so we just ran on stage and fucking played the song. And the worst part is we didn't realize it, but it was one of their newer songs. They have like this extended 40-second break at the end before the final breakdown. We ran out during that break. Dave thought the song was over. So he like ran on the stage and they're in the middle of a fucking song. I'm like, holy shit, we are fucking terrible. We are bad people. This is not what you do to your friends. So we interrupted them in the middle of a song to go play a shitty cover. Like, we're not good. And we just learned the song to go play a shitty cover of a song that they probably dislike and don't ever want to play. But it was very fun. They laughed a lot. We brought a bunch of bottles on stage and took shots and, you know, just did the thing that you do on tour. You just drink, have fun with your friends. And okay, I'll say drink if you want to drink, have fun with your friends and fuck around. Like, you know, especially our first tour back in years, it's like we just want to have fun at this point. It's been too long since we've done it to take it seriously.
Well, if I was in... if I was in Prada, what I would have done is, as you'd run on, I would have gone, what the fuck? Right, wait till they finish, and then we finish the song that we were about to finish anyway.
They did. They literally did. Yes! Hey! They still played the end breakdown on the song that they were on. They're like, I guess we'll just finish it. And it was, the best and worst part is, they just did a tour with Beartooth. And one of them put an Instagram story online of them playing Dogs and Grow Beards All Over. I messaged Jeremy, their guitar player. I was like, you motherfucker. We asked you to play this song every day, and you didn't do it. So we had to do it, and you get on a different tour, and you fucking played on that one. And we had a good laugh about that one.
That's absolutely insane. Is there any other pranks that come to mind from, like, other tours or pranks you've had to experience?
Oh man, I remember on our first full US tour ever, check out this lineup. Headlining was The Number 12 Looks Like You. Direct support was Our Last Night. 2 of 4 was Icy Stars, and we were opening. And it was actually the tour that we signed our record contract to Equalvision on. This is way early on for us. And back then, like, we're all in vans, we're playing 100 cap rooms, we're eating dirt pizza and whatever. Like, we're 18, 19 years old, and who cares? And we thought, oh, what a better way to prank each other than just put shit on each other's vans. Oh, I only ate half this cheeseburger. I'll smear it on Our Last Night's windshield. Stupid shit. And so that whole tour we literally had, we called them van wars, where we would just fuck with each other's vans. Here we are, a bunch of broke kids taking out a $15,000 loan to get a van and go on tour. We're like, hey, why don't we just fuck it up for each other? Like, why not? So I'll never forget, we were in New Jersey in the middle of van wars, and we had pulled up our van, and Dave was driving, and he like rolled down the window, and he was talking to someone in Our Last Night, and one of the dudes in their band, I think it was Colin, he runs up with a full trash can and dumps it through the driver window into our van. The worst part is the entire tour, Dave was like, guys, I don't want to do van wars. We got a new van. Like, I don't want to fuck this up. Let's not do it. I'm not participating. He participated zero amount in van wars, hated it, and he got an entire garbage can of trash dumped on him in the driver's seat.
Oh.
Fantastic stuff, really. It couldn't have gone better.
Yeah, lovely smell of bin juice. Bin juice, the worst type of smell. I don't know if you did it, but you should have definitely have done a Vans Wars tour t-shirt instead of Vans Wars tour. Can you retrospectively do it? That's the question. You could do make it look like a classic t-shirt, Vans Wars tour, and then do the old lineup on it. Get them out there, sell. I only want 10%.
But if I ever had to tour in a van again, I would die. My body would not make it. We toured in a van for about 5 years before we graduated to a larger vehicle. So 5 years of sleeping on concrete floors or van benches, or the very fun part, underneath a bench or in between the benches. There's a little divot where the two doors open on the side. We called that the gully. Sometimes you had to sleep in the gully. So my body feels like shit.
Yep.
I can't do it. Don't put me back in the van. I physically cannot
do it. I don't want to go back to the van.
I have the back posture and spine of a fucking 60-year-old. If you took an x-ray of my spine and how I stand, you would say, that is a fucking garbage person right there. He is filled with garbage. That is how I feel if I have to sleep on the floor or a van bench. No, not doing van wars. Not doing van wars tour. I can't do it. Don't make me go back. Don't make me go back.
I think a lot of people listening to this just don't appreciate how horrible it is touring a van. And yeah, like you said, I've slept in every single position in a van, in the driver's seat, across the passenger seats, across the back seats, the middle seats, down the side in the gully bit you were talking about. Our bassist once slept under the van because he was too warm in the van. Under the van. People don't care that you do that to try and get bigger. And then when you get bigger, they're like, you're fucking rock stars in a bus. And you're like, yeah, no, you don't realize how much that bus fucking saves me. And yeah, Reese doesn't have to go under the van again.
Oh yeah. My favorite, I will say, quotations, fan comment. It's just like, oh, these rock stars, their label went and bought them a bus. Do you have any fucking idea how this works? We're spending thousands of dollars to just try to live here. No, our label did not go and purchase us a bus. We are paying rent on this vehicle with our own money, and it gets 3 miles a gallon. So yes, just throwing that out there. No, our label did not go and purchase this bus for us. What, do you think we fucking drive it ourselves? Is Dave getting up there after an hour-long set behind the wheel? He's like, all right, guys, get in. I got to fucking rip this rig down the road. Yeah. What? Where? Where's the logic? Yeah. Where did it go?
Yeah, people don't see all that. People don't see that side of it.
Guys, luckily I passed my HGV license before we went on tour. I can drive the bus. Yeah, it's crazy. And what I found is, in America, bus drivers tend to either love speed, Adderall, or cocaine to keep them awake during long sleeps. I don't know if you've ever had that, bus driver, but I had one. I've had several like that.
We have in the past had a few drivers that enjoyed substances. Yeah, for sure. But also in the States, it's different. When you get over to anywhere in Europe, it's like, oh, my driver's going 4 hours. He's stopping for 2 hours. Four more hours. Oh, we have a long drive tonight. We're flying in another driver, so this one can sleep while that one's driving 4 hours. In the States, it's like, oh, we got a 10-hour drive. And the driver's like, all right, I got three fucking Red Bulls, and let's rip it. And he's just going. And ironically, the only time that we've ever been on a tour with a bus hitting anything was in Europe on our first European tour. And we're on the Never Say Die tour with Parkway Drive headlining. Parkway Drive, comeback kid bleeding through a mirror from a harlot's mouth.
Oof.
your demise,
fucking
us. That sounds about right. And we opened. So it's like doors at 6. We came as Romans at 5:45. So like, somebody's kind of psyched. I mean, we earned it. Like, you got to eat shit sometimes. Yeah. It's our first time in Europe. Like, we fly to Germany. We play our first show in Europe to 3,400 people. Like, okay, sure. Yeah, definitely earned that shit. But Bleeding Through and Comeback Kid's driver fell asleep on the highway on a like 3-hour drive and drove the bus into the guardrails. And wow. I don't know if you have seen the vocalist of Bleeding Through, but he is a fitness expert, and that man is ripped.
Yeah. And Are they all straight edge as well?
Not when we toured with them. I don't believe all of them were, but I don't know. I was 20 years old, so I don't know. My memory's gone. It shouldn't happen at this age, but it is. It's gone. but I legitimately thought someone was going to get murdered that day, and that someone was their driver, and the murderer would have been Brandon because he was irate. He was like, get that motherfucker out of here. I want a new driver. And I'm like, no, dog, I get it. Like, that dude almost killed you guys. Like, what? Yeah, I agree. But also, don't kill him because you guys are sick and we need you on the tour. And, you know, if you do that, you're going to jail. So,
who else's bassist is going to do a roundhouse kick every night during one of their songs? That's what we should have said to him. Fucking brilliant. I fucking love Bleeding Through. Yeah, we should try and get Brandon on. Yeah, I'd like to relive the anger of that story.
Yeah, they were really nice to us, and my band was a bunch of shithead kids. Like, legit, our first time in Europe, we can't legally even drink in the States yet. We're playing at 6:30 to 6:55, maybe, and then like all we have to do is kind of like watch the merch table. So it was like, hey guys, why don't we just get fucking hammered all the time because we can here. And Bleeding Through was super chill and nice about it and great. And yeah, looking back on that, like if I was on that tour with my band at that time, I would have like kicked the shit out of myself. Just don't be a little, I get it. Your first time in Europe, you can drink legally, like cool, whatever. Just don't be a little shit sometimes, you know? And it's not even like we're doing like terrible, horrible things, but it'd be like, oh, my band's at the bar and we're supposed to load out our 4 pieces of gear and we didn't. And like, it's just disrespectful. Like, there's people working really hard on the crew and we're a bunch of kids pissing off getting drunk somewhere. Like, you know, looking back on it, I'm like, well, we should not have done that. And that was a mistake.
Isn't that like a learning curve? I think that's a learning curve that most bands go through. Is like your first tour, you're like, oh, this is fucking fun. And then you're like, everybody at some point in a band has had a row of somebody else's stage manager in a way.
Yeah, well, that's the thing too. It's like Never Say Die had two stage managers on it and another crew person. And we were sharing a bus, like a double-decker bus with a bunch of other bands. And like that was also our first time on tour ever in our lives, not driving ourselves. That was our first time on tour ever, like sleeping in a bunk, having somewhere that we know we can comfortably sleep at night. And we're in Europe and we're 20 years old. Like, it was like the absolute and we're with Parkway Drive. These shows are fucking massive. You know, we're back in the States, 80, 100 people. And we're over in Europe playing to 3,000 people. And we don't have to drive ourselves. And we can legally drink. And it's, you know, I think we did okay. Also, I cringe a little bit at younger me just not being just a tad more responsible. Like, just a little bit. Like, turn the dial up from 1 to 1.5, maybe.
Yeah, but these are all learning curves in the world of touring for sure. But I wanted to get back a little bit to earlier in the conversation. Obviously, we mentioned that like the last couple of years has been quite difficult with COVID and stopping the starting and stuff. But really, these last 5 years seem to be like a whirlwind of emotions for the band in so many ways, especially now with kind of new music and releasing some of the singles. I know you've been working on a new album as well, but really these last 5 years, how has it kind of been for you? Because I'm sure, like, obviously there's a lot of emotions involved and then kind of stopping and starting, but having that forced break and being able to do things like your wedding and everything, do you feel like in some weird way you needed that?
Kinda. I would say the last 5 years has been mostly dog shit with some really high moments. Obviously, like, losing Kyle was the worst fucking thing that has happened to any of us ever. And I don't, you know, that, like, it just is. There's no way to describe that. And that was fucking awful. It was terrible. And then we're, like, trying to figure out what we're doing. Like, are we even going to be a band anymore? And we are working through that. We're figuring it out. We figure it out. We are going to be a band. We're going to do a record. We're, you know, all this stuff. And it's like, well, we're not going to be a band because COVID's going to happen. So you're going to go home and you're going to try your best to sell some fucking t-shirts online and maybe do a live stream. Man, I don't know how to say this without sounding like I'm fucking complaining. I'm really grateful for this job, and I'd love being in my band. I've been in my band for 17 years. And in my lifetime, I've been in my band longer. I haven't. I started this band with Dave when I was 15, and I'm almost 33. But I think something that people kind of fail to realize is that this is our job. This is how we make money to live on. And so it's like, Kyle died and we didn't do like anything as a band because we didn't know what we did, a support tour, because we didn't even know if we were going to be a band. So it's like, and that's, in my opinion, like, understandable, like, fuck, like, what the fuck is going on when you go through something like that? And then it's like COVID happens and it's like, okay, here I am as, I guess at that point, like 30 years old. And I'm like, here I am as a full grown adult. And I have no idea how I'm going to fucking pay my mortgage right now. Like, we have zero fucking income. So let's try to sell some fucking t-shirts. Let's do a live stream to sell some tickets. Like, it's just a tough mental position to be in, because then for me personally, I start to doubt my worth and what I've done with my life. I'm like, oh shit, yeah, I made it to 30 and I'm going to go ask my dad for some money. Like, what, you know, like, honestly, like, it never got that bad for me to the point where I'm like asking my dad for money. Like, I had saved some, but it's like, you know, when you're an adult and you're going years without like real income, like I'm like actually in terms of income yearly, like for like 3 years, like below the poverty line, like the actual poverty line, which is insane. And it mentally made me feel like garbage because I'm just not. And it's not even that I place this like super high value on money. It's the fact that I'm not earning any money. So does that mean I'm not doing anything with my life? Does that mean I'm not moving my life forward? I'm not working. I'm not trying to achieve something. I'm not, it starts to branch off. So you have like this little central problem. And then all of a sudden you give yourself fucking 30 minutes alone to think about it. And it's branched fucking everywhere. And then you just feel like a piece of garbage, at least for me. Like, I went through.
No, I can completely agree with that. When my band disbanded in 2015, I was so lost. Basically, everybody else in the band either had kids or mortgages and wanted to go and get like proper jobs so they could make real money, so they could, their families could survive. And I felt like everybody had left the band because I wanted to carry on doing it. I felt like everybody left because of me. Like, I was the only one. You're doing it and you haven't got any money and stuff. And yeah, I completely get it. Like, I completely get the same feeling. Like, I felt like shit for years. Like, it was horrible, horrible. But people don't see that for bands. They just think you're up there living the life. You're a fucking rock star. You get a tour of the world. They don't realize you get a tour of the world, but then come back home and you have you know, not much to I know this sounds woe is me on my part or whatever, or woe is us in bands, but they don't realize like the monetary value is so small with being in a band. And sometimes, you know, it only takes one, it could take one little thing. Obviously something massive happened to you guys, but I mean, it could take one little thing for you guys to lose a couple of months' income or something. So yeah, for you, it must have been even worse.
It's like I'm riding this wave of straight depression after losing Kyle. And then we get to COVID, and then I'm riding this wave of just worthlessness, like feeling worthless, you know? And like one thing I will touch on is, you know, I for 4 years, I was seeing a therapist every week. You know, I tried out a few different antidepressants that unfortunately didn't really work for me, but I tried them. I went for it, you know, and it's like, I was doing my best to mitigate that feeling, but sometimes it's fucking hard. And there, you know, you're playing a fucking card game against someone, and you have two cards in hand and they have a fucking deck in theirs. And it's like, what are you going to do at that point? But just fucking weather it and try and make it through it. And just going back to what you were saying for a second, I think something that a lot of people don't realize in bands, like when I talk about that first tour we did with Parkway Drive and whatever, we got home from that tour. I'm sure our old manager could quote me on this. I'm decently sure we lost $26,000 doing that tour. We were making 100 euros a night in a bus. Like,
the bus was probably costing you $250, $300 if you share in. Like, that's got to be costing you at least that a night. So you.
Yep. And so it's like, you know, like, yeah, I did go to Europe and I heavily paid for it, and that sucked. Another one thing that I hope that I guess fans will one day understand, because I've seen a lot of harsh comments online. I never say anything because it's fucking online. And what am I going to do to this fucking random person? Like, am I going to say something? They're going to change their whole perception? No, that's not going to happen. But I place a lot of value on money, not because it's money, not because I can get stuff with it, but what am I spending to earn that? I'm going on tour for 3 months to get this money. And it's not what can I get with this money. It's what did I lose to get this money? I missed, you know, throughout the years, birthdays, funerals, anniversaries, events, tons of shit. I remember one time before our first time in Asia, I flew down to Florida to say goodbye to my grandfather because they sent him home from the hospital, and they were like, he's got like hours, maybe a day, 2 days, whatever. And so I flew down to Florida. I said goodbye, and I literally flew straight to Singapore after that. Like, it was like back to back. Like, I landed in Michigan from Florida and flew out the same day to Singapore with my band. And I landed in Singapore, connected to the airport Wi-Fi, don't have phone service, and get the email from my mom that during my flight, my grandpa died. And it's like, there's a track on Cold Like War called Foreign Fire that I wrote about that experience. But it's like, so yes, like, I'm getting this money, I'm getting that rock star money, which I, for reference, I'm not getting anything close to rock star money. But it's what am I spending to get this money? What am I giving up? You know, when we were younger, we're touring 320 days a year. We actually had to have a conversation as a band. Like, what are we actually willing to do? Like, why are we doing this? We did four tours back to back once. It was like 92 days in a row. We did a US tour and flew to Australia and flew from Australia to California to start another tour. Like, it like, looking back on that, I'm like, why the fuck are we doing this? Why are we just like destroying our mental health because the mindset is stay on the road to stay relevant? Like, what the fuck is going on? And you get to a point where it's like, what am I giving up to do this? Like, you know, I'm 32. This is still my dream. The same dream I had when I was 15. I absolutely love my band and I love being a musician and I love playing on stage. But now I need to actually leverage what I'm doing. Is it worth what I'm giving up and what I'm gaining. Yes, I might go on this tour. I could have some fun. Maybe I make good money. What am I missing? What am I missing out on? I've missed enough in my life. I've missed enough funerals, birthdays, get-togethers, family events. I've had enough Thanksgivings on the road. What? I don't know. Yeah. Now I'm just rambling and I'm complaining. My cat's yelling in the background, telling me to shut the fuck up.
No, but seriously, thank you. Thank you so much for being so open about this kind of stuff, because I don't feel enough bands do. And definitely as a music fan, you don't hear this kind of stuff from magazines or, you know, other interviews and stuff like that. So I really appreciate you being so open about everything. But I did want to commend you on a few things. Obviously, you know, the last 5 years has been so tough, and not only, you know, you've made so many sacrifices, but I want to commend you for both continuing pushing on with new music. And really something I would love to talk to you about is the whole foundation you guys started for Kyle after his death. And I mean, if anyone who's not aware of it, could you just kind of explain the whole kind of nonprofit and the foundation and all the work, because it has helped a lot of people over this time.
Yeah. So right before Kyle's funeral, his parents asked us to go to breakfast with them. So we met them at a diner for breakfast, and they told us that they wanted to start this foundation under his name, just to, I guess, put the most effort forth to prevent this from happening to another family, another band. I think that it is pretty overlooked, but getting a lot better, the mental health of artists. And it's like starting to be more accepted for like me to come forward and say, I'm fucking depressed. I'm having a fucking hard time. You know, years ago, you know, stuff like that happens, and it's, you know, well, you chose this life and, you know, figure it out and you'll be better and just be happy. And it's definitely getting better. The conversation is being had and being talked about and continued to be pushed to the front and say that, you know, we need to have these conversations and we need to talk about this and we need to keep talking about it, because when you let something that should be as prioritized as mental health get pushed to the background, I think that's when, in my opinion, that's when it gets dangerous, when it gets pushed to the background, because then it just kind of keeps getting pushed further and further. And then it starts to become a real issue, but you're not paying enough attention to it to realize that it's becoming an issue. And then it spirals. And then all of a sudden, when you realize it's a real thing that needed to be prioritized, you're already so deep into it. And so his parents had talked to us about making this foundation as a way to prevent this, in terms of like making sure that, you know, musicians can always have that conversation if they need with a therapist or a counselor. Lately, they've been going to festivals and setting up tents to talk to anyone, and then talking about, man, this is it's not, I don't want to say it's wild to me, but it's like it's sad to me that we have to talk about treating drug overdoses and how to, I guess, like help someone and who is overdosing, try to prevent it to get to that point. Sorry, this just popped into my head. And there are still people that are just like, oh, they're, you know, they're junkies, you can't stop them and whatever. And it's like, if someone is in that path where they are actively doing drugs and that's their choice, they're making that, like, you can still be supportive of them as a person, still want to be there for them, still be knowledgeable enough to know how to help them if it gets into a terrible situation. And that's a tough conversation to have for some people, and they have been having it. It's not like touchy for me. Like, it doesn't make me uncomfortable to talk about. It kind of makes me upset that when there are people talking about it, like, there's this negative wave of shit that comes in that's insane. I follow Anthony Green on Twitter, I have forever because I fucking loved Seosin back in the day and I followed him ever since. And, you know, he openly, frequently talks about drug use and being addicted and relapsing and staying clean. Personally, I'd fucking love that. And I love him for that, that he wants to keep that conversation going, wants people to be able to talk about it and feel safe to come to him on Twitter on a platform and they, no one knows anyone. And you got a little fucking picture and he's like, yeah, talk to me about your struggles that I've also dealt with. And I want to talk about it. And so with Kyle's foundation, like it's so what at the festival we're playing this weekend, they're going to have a tent there. And that's, it's just a place. You're at a music festival. Holy shit. Maybe I do need someone to talk to about these things as well. And it's not like, oh, I'm going to go see a therapist, talk about it and get this professional help from a tent at a music festival. Like no one is claiming that, but it's just the fact that it's like, hey, if you want to have this conversation, it's here. If you want to learn, it's here. Providing access to have it, because it's like 5 years ago, like I didn't even know what Narcan was and I didn't even know half of anything about any drug ever. And I didn't know a lot about mental health and how to attempt to even take care of myself mentally. And I don't think a lot of people know those things, but when you start to talk about it and maybe not even talk about it, maybe you're just aware that it's around you, you can start to get a little inquisitive and start to figure that out. Because even if you don't struggle with mental health issues or addiction issues or drug use, that doesn't mean that you never will ever in your life. And that also doesn't mean that if you maybe learn a few things about it now, maybe if there's a possibility that later on in your life, there's a fork that leads one way or the other, you are likely to choose a fork that is much better for you because of some previous things that you've learned that you maybe wouldn't have learned if that conversation wasn't readily available for you to have.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. Thank you very much for that.
Thanks. No, just thank you. Thank you for sharing everything. We're a big advocate for mental health and everything on this podcast. So it's nice to know that there's things like that out at festivals and stuff and the website and whatnot that can help anyone who's really struggling. To move on slightly, as I mentioned, you have been working a lot behind the scenes on new music. There's a few singles out now. You have hell of a list of collaborations on those already. What can you tell us about like the rest of the record and like just that kind of process?
So ever since we released the first single, Dark Bloom, I think it was like July of last year, every one of our fans have been like, okay, sick song. When's the fucking record? I'm like, can we just enjoy the song? Can we just do the song for a second? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, fuck. Like, I guess like COVID supply chain issues and stuff. There's been a huge vinyl shortage to make records.
Adele. Mm. Apparently, a lot of that is down to Adele. Pop singer really? Adele.
I'm not going to name any names, but there are some that are using much more than others.
Yeah, over here, Adele, loads of bands' records got shelved because Adele decided she wanted to bring an album out on vinyl and all of the vinyl makers had to make her vinyl.
Nuts. Well, so here's the thing is like, you don't even, like, we don't make CDs anymore. The only physical music that anyone makes is vinyl because if you want to listen to it, a lot of people have record players. Almost every vinyl that's made is limited edition, so it won't be printed in that variant again. It's, a collector's piece. It is the only physical music that's sold. So here's my band. We're going to come out with our first record in fucking 5 years. We can't release that without physical product. We can't put it out and then a year later be like, oh, yeah, here's some vinyls of that record. We've been, I don't even know if I'm allowed to say this, but I don't really care. We've been sitting on a record for over a year. It's been done. We've had it. We can't put it out. Because we are waiting, and we'll make some announcements soon, but we were waiting for a supplier to confirm, guaranteed, we can have your vinyls shipped by this particular date. And we had to wait for that to actually put a whole record out, which is so fucking frustrating when you're just sitting on it. And here I am sitting on it, and I'm like, this is the best shit I've ever done in my fucking life. Like, straight up, this is the best thing that I have ever created as a musician. Let me not share it with anyone for fucking years. Yeah, might as well just keep it to myself and my wife. Why not?
Hello.
Oh, hold on one second. Hey, I'm in the middle of an interview right now. Oh, the old unexpected visit from my stepdad, who apparently is on his lunch break at work. Very cool.
It's rock and roll, isn't it? It's just rock and roll.
Very,
that's fine,
very bro. Rock and roll. Yeah, I know you can't mention too much about it, and I'm sure a lot of people listening are very excited for these announcements, but is there anything from these collection of songs that you can tell us that you are really looking forward to people to check out? Or like, is there anything particular about these songs that you're like really, really excited for?
Well, lyrically, I for anyone that doesn't know, I write the lyrics for my band, the music too, and do a lot of writing, so that's cool. Lyrically, it's like probably, in my opinion, like the best shit that I have written in a long time. I'm going to turn my dog into a pair of slippers if he keeps barking. Oh my God.
You could turn it into multiple beards. If we've learned anything today, we could turn our dog into multiple beards. Yes.
Jeez. But lyrically, I'm incredibly proud of it. The entire record, obviously, is about losing Kyle and what we went through. But you can't write 10 songs that are like, I'm fucking sad. My best friend is dead. Next song. I'm really sad because my best friend has passed away. The next song, I am feeling a little angry. Like, you can't do that shit because who wants to listen to that? So it was a challenge in making 10 songs of dealing with the grieving process that aren't saying the exact same thing. We went into this record with, I want to say I showed up with 19 songs to Drew Folk, and we wrote five songs maybe while I was there, and there's I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, considerably less than 25 songs on the record. I'll just say that.
That's safe. Nice. Yes,
that's very
considerably
safe.
Less. So it's like there were a ton of songs, and we very carefully picked the ones to make sure that, one, we weren't saying the same thing over and over again, two, we're not playing the same music over and over again. Every song is different and gives something to offer. Hopefully, you know, when a fan listens to it, hopefully they can't relate, because I don't want our fans to be dealing and grieving and, you know, that. But I think that almost everyone can relate to that in some way. And so hopefully it can open up some pathways for our fans to, I guess, like, heal or help them move forward or anything.
Yeah. Even get them the conversation going. If they're not mentally in the right place, maybe the record will help them in some way. That's awesome that you can bring that to people. And yeah, one of the things I wanted to talk about is I heard the collaboration with, is it Brand of Sacrifice?
Yep. Yeah, that was a thing we did. That was a fucking wild thing we did.
Yeah, so, this is the thing. Like, I've never known how band collaborate. Anytime I've collabed with another band, it's just me, the vocalist, go over, I'll do some shouting on your record, that's fucking done. How do two bands come together to have a fucking play with a song?
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Right. So like anyone that knows like me, like my friends and, you know, anyone in bands, like I don't listen to heavy music. Like, you know, I drove earlier to the gas station and I was playing Taking Back Sunday's second CD that came out when I was in high school. And I chose to put that on, you know, like, you know what I mean? So it's like for our band to collaborate and do a deathcore version of a song, I'm like, okay, well, there's no fucking way that I'm contributing to this because I don't fucking know what's going on. So I had a Zoom call with Leo and Kyle from Brandon Sacrifice. They're like, so what are you looking for? And I was like, literally, like, you guys are sick. Like, you can take the song and just do what you want to it. I will tell you if it is too much. Chances are it's not. But, like, obviously, like, let's change up the drums because it's like a very good indicator of what version of core a song is. You know, are we just metalcore or are we going more towards deathcore? Like, let's figure out how many little blasties we can get in here and, you know, what's going on. And I was like, you know, the guitars, it's going to be like kind of hard to change them up because, like, honestly, like I write really simple songs because I'm shit at guitar, but like they sound pretty good. So like, cool, we'll roll with that. So like they spice up the guitars a little bit. And then obviously Kyle just did his thing vocally. We were like, yeah, just literally do your fucking thing. Like, don't, I'm not going to give you a checklist of what I want you to do. I'm just going to send you some stems and you're going to do whatever you want to do. And they sent back a version one draft and we were like, yep, print it. We're fucking good. Like, this is good. Everything is fine.
Nice.
You know, it, I think the important part is like, we just had a call and we just talked about expectations of where we want to go. Like, how heavy can we go? And I'm like, well, obviously like my band is like metalcore and like, you know, played two CDs and like drop D, like we're not, like managing like the expectations of like how heavy they could make it, but giving them the absolute creative freedom to do whatever the fuck they wanted. And yeah, so like 20 minutes on a Zoom call, they did their thing. Everything was great. We sent it to Jeff Dunn, who works with Drew Folk, who did our last two records. And well, one record and one that is going to be coming out. And Jeff worked mixing those as well. So like, and he mixes Brandon Sacrifice. So very familiar with both their bands and figuring out how to make that sound good. And he fucking crushed it. And that was that. Really easy. I'm going to be honest. I didn't do shit. I had 20 minutes on a Zoom call. Brandon Sacrifice did 100% of the fucking work.
I love the honesty. I love the honesty, though.
Yeah. How did it come about? Like, was it you guys' idea to have a bunch of collaborations where you send it off to bands, or?
So the Brandon Sacrifice collab came about because we had a tour that was going to happen that got canceled. And we were like, well, shit, we got to fucking bust out some content now because in our timeline, we still got a little while until we release more content, I'll say. Obviously, it's another fucking new song. What else would it be? We still got a minute until we release another new song. So we got to fill this gap. We were going to fill it with touring. We're not anymore. What can we do? Let's do a reimagined version of a song. Okay, are we going to hire an orchestra? Are we going to do it acoustic? Are we going to do, not knocking it, because some of the versions are amazing, a similar thing to what pretty much everyone else is doing. Our drummer David was like, let's do a deathcore version. And we're like, okay, sure. It kind of like caught us off guard. And we're like, wait a minute. That could work. Let's just go the complete fucking opposite direction of reimagined and see what happens. then it fucking happened. And it was like, it was a quick process. It took, I don't know, maybe like 2 weeks or something. I wasn't counting because, like I said, I didn't fucking do anything for it. I talked to the guys and we kept in, you know, close communication about it. But, and that's the thing too, is it was so quick because Brand of Sacrifice are like real musicians. Like, I look at my band and like Pocket, our drummer, real musician, guy fucking rips. I look at myself, I'm like, I'm trying, but I don't know. Am I a real musician? I don't know. Ugh. Am I consistently probably the worst guitar player on this tour? I think so. Probably. Because these guys are fucking shredding. Now I'm playing open 8-3-5. You're ripping it on stage. Like, cool.
Oh, amazing. Well, Josh, we won't keep you too much longer because we know you've got to go off this and play a round of golf.
I do.
Funny enough, but just a couple of things as we wind down very quickly. You mentioned Taking Back Sunday. Favorite Taking Back Sunday song?
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're my favorite band of all time. So you mentioned them and my brain just goes, ooh, TBS chat.
Okay.
Which is terrible. Terrible when it comes to being a professional journalist.
I will say, from Tell All Your Friends, probably Great Romances or Ghost Man on Third. From Where You Want to Be. Fuck, that's hard to.
I want to make them sure.
Yeah, well, obviously, that's that's a classic, but isn't that on Third record?
That is.
Yes. Sure.
Oh, I don't know. I just turn up and ask questions. I'm sorry. I don't know everybody's exact records, guys.
I'll just go with Decade Under Influence. It's easy pick. It's
okay,
fine,
you know? Cool. That's fair.
I'll take Great Romances, Decade, and then Make Damn Sure, Easy Picture. We'll end it at that. That sounds fine. That sounds good. Tidy.
Another question we ask a lot of people on here is, do you remember the first moment that you were like, oh, we're a real band. Oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. Or do you remember the first time like you met one of your idols or somebody liked your band that you would never expect to like your band?
Yes. First moment, I felt like we were just like a real actual band. Warped Tour 2011, hometown show in Detroit. We're playing outside Comerica Park, which is where the Tigers play baseball. It was the last year that it was there, which was way cooler than where they put it after that. We're playing a side stage. We are not very big. We had one CD out, so just had to plan a seat out. And we played a side stage to like probably close to 7,000 people. And like, I had my dad side stage and I like look over and he's crying and then I start crying. And then like, holy shit, I'm fucking doing it. It was also a big deal. I'll try to touch on this really briefly. Earlier that year, I took a coma on accident because I had bacterial meningitis and almost died. So, you know, all things leading up to that, I'm like, holy shit, I'm not dead. Also, I'm in a real
this
band.
This is pretty good.
Also, my dad's crying, so I need to cry as well.
Yeah, I did Warped Tour once in 2009 with my band. And we did one show, I think it was in San Antonio, and it was the only, because we were doing the Kevin Says stage. Normally, our crowd, because nobody in the US had a fucking clue who we were. Like, our crowds would range from like 30 people to 200 people. We turned up the one in San Antonio, and there must have been, I don't know, 2,000 or 3,000 people standing in front of our stage. And we were like, oh my fucking God, we're really big in San Antonio. This is insane. and it turned out Imua were on after us.
Oh, of course. Oh, fucking course.
Yeah. And I was like, crushers. Yeah, it's because of them. They're definitely not going to like this fucking, namby-pamby emo shit.
Yeah. If I remember, San Antonio, too, was in like a dirt fucking lot and it like you couldn't breathe. Like it was literally in a dirt field and there's just like dust 6 feet high consistently forever. Oh, yeah, that was terrible.
All I can remember thinking was, if we're in San Antonio, was there any chance of Shawn Michaels, the wrestler, turning up? And he didn't. I was gutted. That's all I knew about San Antonio, and I was gutted when he didn't turn up. What about any of your heroes? Have you met any of your heroes, and were they nice to you?
So, funny story. When we were, like, I'll just call us a local band. We are like booking our own tours on MySpace and shit. I went on eBay and I bought the same guitar that JB from August Burns Red plays, because I fucking loved Messengers. It was my fucking jam. That was the CD. We would play that CD just on fucking repeat for hours. And so I bought a guitar and I was like, I fucking love August Burns Red. This is me. This is the best guitar player in the fucking world. Like, I'm like 17, 18 years old. I'm like, cool. That's great. We ended up like touring with August Burns Red a few times, like making friends with them. Now we're like actual friends with them. We're about to be direct support to them. Like, we can run into each other and actual friends. I told JB that story once. I was like, this is really embarrassing, but like, sorry, I loved you when I was 18. A little weirder, you know, now I'm 32, but I actually sold that guitar to one of the guitar players of Upon a Burning Body, because the guy who sold it to me didn't tell me that it was fucking broken. The neck was set wrong. And so it wouldn't stay in tune and it wouldn't bolt on correctly. And I was like, oh, I got to get rid of this guitar. And at the time, his name was Chris. He was like, oh, I'll buy it from you. I love that guitar. I was like, no, like, this guitar sucks. This is not staying tuned. He's like, no, I'll buy it still. I'll fix it. It's like, I don't. Okay. You know what? Okay. I'm just
get rid of it. Cool.
I played that guitar for literally a four and a half. And I was like,
Wow. Wow. I love full circle moments like that. But Josh, honestly, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. Really appreciate how open and honest you've been. I'm very sorry that I took the mood down drastically when we were laughing about
we were having so much fun
and I came in and ruined it all. I thought, that's too much fun.
Journalism.
Stop that.
See,
now
that's
but, no, it's all good. I think perhaps I took the mood down a little
bit.
Fine. A little ranty shit sometimes. You know, you ask me a question and it's 10 minutes later and you're like, why is he still fucking talking?
No. That's it's all good.
That's what we want.
Yeah, it's easier to blame me and that's fine. But just before you go, is there anything else you would like to mention, plug, let the listeners know? Please, go ahead.
Starting in July, we're going to go on tour for like, I don't know, 3 fucking months. We got some cool announcements coming up, so I'm sure you'll see them on social media, but got a bunch of like actual cool shit. We're about to fucking turn the burners back on and be a band again and do a bunch of band stuff, which is very cool. If you can or want to, I recommend growing a mustache.
And shit. I do want to. I just can't.
And other than that, yeah, I don't know. I think I'm good. Just, I don't know if this is fucking lame to end on, but just like, remember how much of a priority mental health should be. Yes. I'll just leave it at that. Just try. Even if everything is going great, you're like, oh, I don't need to put any effort into this. That's awesome. Just remember that there might be a time coming where you do need to put effort into that and make sure that, that you have, you know, hopefully a support system around you that can help you and whatever, but just, that's it. That's all I got.
Perfect. Well said. Thank you so much, man. Really appreciate it. This has been great. I'm looking forward to everything coming up with We Came As Romans very soon.
Awesome. All right. I'll see you guys later.
You're listening to Sammy Podcast! Lovely stuff. Woo! Yes. Big fan of Joshua. Big fan of We Came As Romans. What a lovely human. Didn't know what to expect. Great time.
Yeah, I just loved we had so many laughs and we got to have a really deep conversation in the middle. It was just lovely to meet Josh, a band that have affected so many people. So many friends I have love their music, their lyrics, their songwriting. And Josh is a big, big staple in all of that. So it's nice to have an insight behind everything. We talked about secrets behind new music in the chat, and this week they have announced that their new album, Dark Bloom, will be released on October the 14th via Sharp Tone Records. They've just put out a new single the last couple of days called Plate, which is very heavy, and I encourage everyone to go and check out their previous single titled Black Hole that features Caleb Shomo of Bitter fame, who's recently back on the podcast for a Slam Dunk Festival special just a couple of weeks ago. So go in back and listen to that. And there's no European dates released yet, but for our American friends, We Came As Romans will be touring throughout July 15th to August 27th of a Mad Runner shows with August Burns Red. And then in September to November in the States, they have another tour supporting Architects. So a lot of traveling, a lot of shows, and a lot of headbanging for them.
Architects. They support an architect, eh?
They are. The very same.
Architects from the UK.
They are. They're going to the States, and then We Came As Romans are supporting them.
Nice. Architects are supporting Biffy Clyro now, aren't they?
Yeah, in a massive arena tour over in the UK.
Such a chess move that is by Simon Neil. Nice. Fantastic.
We love to see it. And of course, just to mention again, if anyone is struggling with kind of mental health or anything from addiction or have known people who have struggled with those things, please go and check out the Kyle Pavone Foundation, kylepavonefoundation.org. Online, there's a lot of little tidbits and stuff for there. If you are listening to this in the States and Canada, then the foundation will be popping up with some festivals and stuff over the rest of the summer. And we are actually in talks about doing a mental health episode of our own with a foundation close to our hearts. So keep an eye on at Sapling Pod on Twitter and Instagram for everything going on and some updates on the life of Sapling Podcast at festivals this week. Could be very busy at 2000 Trees to end very our busy. Summer.
Yes, very, very, very busy. Very, 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 very busy. Does it end our summer? Have we gone?
We might pop down to another festival, I guess. But this is our most busiest period. I think that kind of closes that.
Nice. Thank God for that. Thank God it's nearly finally over. What a stress it's been. Also, when this comes out Friday, I am DJing tonight at, where am I DJing? Oh, at the Scala for Face Down. So check that out. Again, check out my band at Raiders Band UK on all the socials. We supported Raptors last week in Bristol, and that was a fantastic time. And then I DJed at Fat Lip after, and that was amazing. And it was Mark Andrews' stag do. WWE wrestler, former guest, and member of Junior. It was his stag do, and he came to Fat Lip, and they had like a 24/7 wrestling title where you could just go on to whoever had it, challenge them to a game or whatever, and then you could become champion. So I saw that WWE NXT superstar Eddie Dennis had the title.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wandered up to him and I whispered into his ear, Eddie, I'm super sorry, but I'm going to have to take that title off you now. And he said, all right, what's the competition? And I said, it's a ball off. We have to get our balls out and whoever's got the biggest one wins. So he said, yeah, go on then. And then I whipped mine out and he went, oh, there you go. And then just handed me the title without even getting his out. So, I was Mark Andrews stag do champion for about 5 minutes, and then we played a game called Fives, which I didn't understand, and I apparently lost. So it's been a good couple of weekends. So tonight, Face Down, Scala, if it's Friday, July the 1st. If it's after July the 1st, you missed it, check out Raiders Band at 2000 Trees and come and see us do our live podcast at 2000 Trees.
Yes, and you can get 10% off your tickets for 2000 Trees by using the promo code SAPNIN at 2000treesfestival.co.uk/ticket. That's the promo code SAPNIN for 10% off. And come and see us do those live podcasts. I can't believe you were a wrestling champion over the weekend for 5 minutes. That's a really cool claim to fame.
Yeah. I've got a good photo that I posted on my Instagram that I think is probably down by now. But yes, Eddie's face looks genuinely shocked. Like Teddy Long has turned up and told him he's got to go one-on-one with The Undertaker. It's but much, much bigger than The Undertaker. It was my balls. So,
oh, there we are. There we are. Well, if you want even more behind-the-scenes shenanigans and knowing-dons of what happens with this podcast and Sean's balls, then please head over to patreon.com/sapnin. It's the best way to support this podcast. You get included into a wonderful community of people that we love very, very much. And there's loads of extras on there, from bonus podcasts, behind the scenes videos, photos. You get news first. It's a whole thing. And I was very lucky enough this past week to go and see Green Day in London Stadium for the Hell and Mega Tour. And I got to meet up with a lot of our patrons, hang out, take some photos, and have a lovely time. We'll be doing a meetup at 2000 Trees, and we're talking about doing a massive virtual one online on a giant call in the next couple of weeks too. So if you'd like to get involved, patreon.com/sapnin. As always, we want to say a massive thank you to everyone in the group. If you head over to the description of this episode, there is loads of names there that we do thank.
Loads of them. Thank you.
Sean is going to give a massive shout out to the elite members of our Sapnin Podcast Patreon community.
Yes, thank you very much to these beautiful souls. I am glad you are here with us right now, and I love you all very much. Thank you very much, Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwaway, Janelle Caston, Steve. Why do bees hum? Because they don't know the words vi. Thank you very much, Mitch Berry, Tony Michael, Kelly Irwin, Dilly Grimwood, Natasha Morris, Nathan Croshaw, Emma Barber, Sammy G, Kat Besson, Dana Lasnova, Jenny Robertson, Murray Grimwood. Scott, what do you call a bee who creates laws? A pollen-tician? Jones? Kieran Olmey, who had a tattoo that I wrote up this week. That's mental. Hey, guys, don't do that. Thank you very much, Amy Dawson, Amy Louise, Tom Owen, Alexandra Pemberton, Stuart. When do bees get married? When they meet their honey. And then he's written in brackets, honey like Steve Vai makes McNaught. Oh, thank you very much, Kayla O'Sullivan, Caroline Robinson, Chris Howard, M. Evans Roberts, Jacob Etherington, Kate Puttock, TJ Ambleshattock, Danny Eaton, Louis Cook, Martina McManus, Carl Pendlebury, Craig Harris, James McNaught, Jenny Munster, Jason Heredia, John and Emma, Emily Perry, Kenny Cannon. Oh, what a great wrestling name. Kenny Cannon. Khalila Keen. Ollie, have you heard the Annie Monster has been demasked? It's some guy called Steve Vai Amesbury. Thank you very much, Adam, King of the Goss Parslow. Thank you very much, Steve. What do bees use to style their hair? Honeycombs Vi. Oh, God. Thank you very much, Alice Wood, Reese Bowring, Kate Stevenson, Kyle Camping for Steve Vai Honey, David Smith, and last but no means least, Connor Lewins. Thank you very much to all of those. Morgan, have we got any Steve Vai Honey?
No, we haven't had any Steve Vai Honey left.
I don't believe he fucking makes it.
This is going to be a thing until the end of time, until we get this honey, if we ever get this
honey.
Well,
yeah, he promised it.
He did. We've got the audio and the video footage of him promising us honey, and I'm outraged that it's not a thing yet. Steve Vai, if you're listening, sort it out, please, but.
Unbelievable. But yeah, thank you very much to all of those people, to anybody who's been part of Patreon. If you're considering it, please do, because yeah, it helps to keep us going and make this podcast each and every week. Morgan, is there anything else?
No, just make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to these podcasts so you get notifications or it comes up easier. We're going to be releasing a lot of stuff very, very soon. All the fallout from 2000 Trees. A lot of interviews planned there. It's going to be a really good time. Can't wait. And we'll see you next week and every Friday for more guests, more episodes, and more laughs.
Yes, I'm going to put that photo of Eddie Dennis being shocked by my testicles on the Patreon walls for people to see his face, because it's nice. Fucking brilliant. But yes, thank you very much, and Sapnin.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.